We're still going to Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew, the 2nd chapter, the 5th verse. Now, as we read this, just overlook the wise men, okay? don't get caught up on the wise men, because we're going to get to that. Amen. That's the next year word. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, and I may come and worship him also. Yeah, right. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now, how many caught that? How many caught that? How many caught, thank you? The baby caught it. That the star went before them. That means that the star wasn't standing still, but the star was actually moving. You think, John, now you know God ain't no joke. God is not a joke. The star, they followed the star. The word following means that they were behind, or they were anticipating where it was going. Forget the wise men, okay? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great joy. Well, I jumped ahead. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. That's funny, ain't it, Brother Chet? That's kind of funny. That the star itself took them where they needed to go, and where they got where it was supposed to go, it stopped moving. How many of y'all need a star leading y'all? I don't know. I raised my leg. Glory to God. It came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, somebody say treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I hear you were talking about frankincense this morning. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. That seems to be a long way to travel to take and give a child gold, which he cannot spend, frankincense or incense, which he doesn't know what he's got, and myrrh, which he can't do nothing with. So it has to have some type of spiritual significance in it. That they would travel all that way to give him that. And I like it because they called it treasure. I'm going to try to keep this simple. Him, when they had opened their treasures. The word treasure in the Greek means a deposit. They were making a deposit. They weren't making a financial deposit, but they were making a spiritual deposit. Now, I'm trying to stay away from what they were, but it's kind of hard. Why would sorcerers and magicians make a spiritual presentation or gift or deposit to the King of Kings. I'm going to give y'all time to think this morning. I'm going to let y'all ponder over all this. Why? Why would magicians, sorcerers, you know, sorcerers are, when we talk about sorcery, we talk about folks throwing salt up under our up under our chairs and sprinkling stuff on our shoulders. See, we're laughing, but we've had that stuff happen here. We had a little old lady used to play the piano across the street. And she got there one morning, and evidently somebody knew her spirit, and they were not happy with her. So they threw salt up under her piano. She liked to have a heart attack. She wouldn't go 20 feet near that piano. So they went and told Brother Hart and Pastor Hart, he says, hey Dennis, they got salt up under Sister What's Her Name's piano. What you gonna do about it? I said, I'll get a broom. So I went and got me a broom and a dustpan, and I swept up the salt and I threw it in the trash can. Because can't nothing touch you. The anointed of God. You can take a truck of salt and pour it on me. Now, I might have a problem getting out of it, but it don't have no power over me. Amen. These guys traveled all this way. A star led them, showed them where to go, and when it got to where it was supposed to be, it stopped moving. And it says the star stood over. Y'all do not hear me this morning. Amen. It says the star stood over the child.
Amen.
It didn't light on him, Sister Diane. But it stood over him. We tell you all the time, guess what you cannot separate? You cannot separate the Trinity. They work together because they are a triune God. And one cannot work without the other. The star rose in the east. We know that in the east is where the sun rises. Man. He is messing me up. The sun, the star rose. They say the star rose in the east. Now we know the only thing that rises is the sun. But here it says a star rose in the east. And it led them. So that meant that the star knew who it was looking for. You ever think about that? The star had to know who he was looking for, or he wouldn't have knew where he was going. What star you know has the ability to move on its own and direct? My God. They opened their treasures, their gifts, and made a deposit. And they presented unto him gifts. The word, see, that's why it's so important. Brother Ed and I were doing radio this morning. And I know we're getting ready to put the image series on the radio. So I said to Brother Ed, I said, you know what? we might as well start some controversy. Why not? Amen. Y'all saying all right now. Let's see if you say all right if they ask you, do you go to Liberty Temple Worship Center? Let's see what you say then. Are you going to, no, I go to Liberty Temple Baptist. Oh, I go to Liberty Temple in Milwaukee. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they presented unto him gifts. Gifts, the word means sacrifice. They were sacrificing unto him. I know y'all ain't ready for this next one. She said you are. Have you ever asked yourself? They only had one dream. The only dream they had was to leave town a different way because Herod was going to try to kill them. How did they know that the Son of God was being born in Bethlehem? What made them want to follow the star? I like you sitting on the edge of your seat. What made them want to follow that star? What was that star doing that made them so inquisitive to know that they were going to see the king? It had to be doing a little bit more than moving. It was ministering. It was speaking to their spirits. Remember we talked about the image, the phantom of the image? The star was a phantom of the image. Why? Because the Father has got to look out for his Son. And the only way he can look out for his Son is to send the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all gonna get that in a little while. And the Word of God says that the Holy Ghost is the giver of all knowledge. I'd be a crazy man if I saw a star that was moving, going this way and going that way, and I'm in the desert. I'm traveling over desert, over dunes. I would be crazy unless something in that star was letting me know that I was running, moving towards the king. And then they offered him a sacrifice. They presented unto him a sacrifice. They presented unto him what? They presented unto him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's the gold for? What's he going to do with the gold? Because the gold represents the deity of who he was. The gold wasn't so much for spending. It was to show who he was. The deity of who he was. Then they offered unto him. And see, when you look at treasures and it talks about what treasures are, it also talks about they had to open up their cases. Y'all don't watch Aladdin and all that kind of stuff, do y'all? Y'all, Y'all haven't read the story about the Queen of Sheba, and or whatever her name was, Cleopatra and Samuel. She went bearing gifts. She had trunks. They had trunks. They just didn't have one trunk. They had trunks in their caravan. So where did it all go? Where did all the gold go? I got y'all interest now. When they told Jesus he had to pay taxes, what did he say? Go to the river and there will be a fish that's got a gold coin in his mouth to take care of my taxes. Everything that they brought him, he gave back to the earth. Why? Because he knew he had authority and dominion over the earth, and whatever he needed, he could call it forth.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry, y'all. And then they gave him the frankincense. We know that frankincense represents incense. It's a type of incense. It's a fragrance. But it also means something else. And also, they also use frankincense to make bricks. Hello? They use frankincense to make bricks. The Word of God said Jesus was the chief cornerstone laid from the foundation of the earth. See how they're setting it up? They setting this thing up. They setting it up. You see why Herod upset? You see why Herod decided he wanted to kill them? And then they gave him the myrrh. Gold representing the deity. The frankincense represented the stability and the strength of who he was. And then they gave him the myrrh, which is ointment. When he visited the marriage them house, what did they do? They anointed his feet and used their hair to dry. The Old Testament calls it the oil of gladness. For unto the world a son is born, and he shall bring forth life, and he shall produce peace, and he shall produce joy in the lives of those that accept him into their lives. They brought him gold. They brought him frankincense, and they brought him myrrh. To represent the anointing. That's why he is Jesus, the anointed one. I got something for you, folks. You are the frankincense, and you are the myrrh, and you are the gold. The deity is living in you. The incense, which is your sweet savor, your worship that goes up before God, and the myrrh is the anointing of God that is in your life. They were just giving him a gift to represent who he was now, but they were giving him a gift to let you know that I am come, and I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You are more important to God than you would ever possibly realize. That's why you go through all the H-E-L-L double hockey stick that you go through. Even if you cause it yourself. Now, I stand on that chair, but I don't think Mother Hodges can help me get down. So that I can make sure you hear this. every problem that has been in my life, I did it. So Norma didn't do it. So the anything had nothing to do with it. Did you have something to do with Melania? I didn't think so. How many hear me? I did. Either I made a left when I should have went right, or I made a right when I should have went left, or I kept going when I should have stopped. Why? So God could produce an anointing in your life that would give you understanding and knowledge, so that the ministry that is hid down in your most inner being could manifest itself and come forth out of your life, because there is somebody that needs you. You have to be somebody's crack. You're going to have to be somebody's cocaine. You're going to have to be somebody's alcohol. You're going to have to be somebody's drug addict pills. You're going to have to be something for somebody. But if you don't recognize that you are the gold, and that you're the frankincense, and that you're the myrrh, you'll never bring forth the destiny that you're supposed to do in your life. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Can't nobody stop you from succeeding in God except for you. And I've got news for you. If you get yourself in trouble, if somebody else gets you in trouble, God will lead you in a direction that you can avoid the mess. I know. I know. I have created some situations where I've been shipwrecked. And they've been hollering, "Hey, throw him off the boat." He's the reason the storm is here. Get ready. Throw him off the boat. Folks want to throw you off the boat because they figure their lives are the way they are because of you. You better tell them to get a life. I'm glad my daughter is here. She can't get mad at me this morning. Is she here? No, she's not here. But I'm going to get it for not being here anyway. But at least she can't get mad at me for saying what I'm getting ready to say. Because she can give me the eyes. She got them big old pretty eyes, and they turn into knives. And she said, and her thing is, she says, "I take advantage of my daddy privileges." I say, "You're right. I don't dispute that." Something was happening. And I said, "Then you have to realize that you have this situation in your life." "Well, I'm not accepting it." I go, "How? Why not? You in it." "Well, I'm not claiming it." "You don't have to. You're in it. It's to claim you." She said, "Well, what do I do, Dad?" I say, "You tell God that I'm in this. Help me get out of it." He can't help you get out of something except you first admit that you're in it. These wise men, these magicians and these sorcerers, they were in over their heads. But it was something about that star that ministered to them, that told them, "If you do what I'm directing you to do, I will keep you." And at the very last minute, they had a dream about Herod, and they chose to go a different way. And guess what? God kept them. When you get up in the morning, you remind yourself, "I am the gold, and I'm the frankincense, and I'm the myrrh that God has created in this earth, that I might show forth the praises and the glory of God." Amen. Your life has meaning and it has purpose. God predestinated that you be conformed to the image of his son. That means that you have the likeness. I'm not talking about that you walk around all pious and holy and holier than thou, like you so much better than everybody. But I'm saying you walk around and you have the nature and the character of God. Now, the character and nature of God means something, because now you've got to do what? You've got to love folks that you know hate you. You got to pray for folks that you know despitefully using you. It's easy to love folks that love you. And it's easy to pray for folks you know that's praying for you. You better follow the star. And say, you know what's so good about it now, though? The star is in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
The star is in you. All you've got to do is have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And it ain't talking about this building. It's talking about you.
Yeah.
We're going to start that study on the corporate anointing, because we as the body of Christ need to understand that the corporate anointing will produce such an anointing throughout the earth that it will tear down strongholds and repair breaches in folks' lives. Don't you know people are leaking all on you? They leak in hurt. They leak in disappointment. They leak in depression. I told them Wednesday morning service, I was one of them preachers that said, a born-again believer can't never be depressed because he got Jesus in his life. There was only one problem. I couldn't find the frankincense. And I didn't know that I had the myrrh. So I found myself depressed. If you don't know what depression is, you don't want to worship God. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to deal with people. There are things you just flat out don't want to be bothered with. You don't even want to be bothered with yourself. You go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and you go, oh, shoot. Y'all think I'm joking. I got up some morning and I was flat out depressed. I go to the restroom and I'm looking in the mirror, I'm going, idiot. Dummy. What you gonna do now? Because that old man in you has the power to ruin you. Guess what they were saying? We're giving you gold, we're giving you frankincense, and we're giving you myrrh to let you know that you are the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings, and that you have power and ability beyond measure. And let me tell you something else about this baby that they took all this stuff to. This baby had the ability to draw men unto him. If you lift up the name of Jesus, he draw. See, we say, we always quote the scripture, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But it's not you. The scripture is really quoted, if I be lifted up, draw all men unto me. That lets you know that if you lift up Jesus, it's him in you that'll draw all men unto you. You know what folks love? Folks love the sweet smell of incense. They love myrrh. They love the anointing that's in your life. And they love the gold. They love the deity. They love the character and the nature and the goodness and the mercy and the compassion and the peace and the joy that you radiate in your life. Even though they know you're going through trials and there's storms and there's dispositions and there's circumstances surrounding your life where you should absolutely give up. But you found a way to look up through the storm and see the sun shining in the east. And now you can offer up a sacrifice of praise unto him. Just like
that they sacrifice unto Jesus, you can sacrifice unto him. Lord God, I'm hurt, but I praise you anyway. Lord, I don't have the money that I need, but I praise you anyway. Lord, there are troubles all over my life, but I praise you anyway. Lord, I'm depressed, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Lord God, I'm sick in my body, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I don't have any peace in my mind right now, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Lord, my heart is broken and torn apart, but I'm going to praise you anyway, because I understand that you will inhabit the praise. So I'm not no chump. I don't care what mistakes I made, I'm not junk. I'm gold, and I'm frankincense, and I'm myrrh, because I have the nature and the character of a king living on the inside. I'm done. Everybody stand.